highway regard is justified.
So for everybody to be able to do whatever they want to do, they must just abide by them, by the Bible, and ensure that whatever amount they get, even though, for instance, we heard that dwarf needs 20 billion, and yet they are given a billion. Our responsibility is, can I say perhaps if this
can be power cut in the next half an hour or something like that?
Well, anything is possible anytime, man.
But yet they must know for more or less, because then they can start the generator outside.
Let's also ask the gentlemen that I use as well that they have got some batteries, extra batteries to ensure that.
Okay.
Okay. Jimmy.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. I think I just want to indicate that we are reporting on the progress as at 31st December 2007, and I just also want to indicate, given our last report that we have given on the 9th of October, there has been improvement in both the financial and on the implementation side. And I also like to apologize for the presentation. The pages are not numbered, so we will just use the heading. Yes. On the content part, just on the next page on the presentation, we'll first talk to the municipal program for the 2007-08. Then we will move to the ESCOM program. As members would be aware that we have got both the municipal Schedule 6 and ESCOM Schedule 7 allocation. And so we will talk to both of them separately, and then both on the allocation of the expenditure, and we will move to the connection part. The next page is the municipal program for 2007-08 capital expenditure. The municipalities in total, they were allocated 467 million rand. To date, it was scheduled that about 331 million would have been transferred, but the actual transfer that happened to date has been 226 million rand. We see an expenditure of 175, that is about 48% of the funds that has been transferred, and that will then basically mean that of the 48% that has been transferred, approximately 78% has been expended by municipalities. And the challenges would be in the Mpumalanga area, where there is currently about 17%, and in Limpopo, which is now, this is 27%, as well as the Northern Cape and Northwest. Moving on to the connection for municipalities, we currently have revised connections of about, meaning the municipal program must achieve 66,000 connections. Year to date actual is about 15,000, which is 23% of the connections that they basically need to achieve. And I must indicate that with the municipalities, if we talk as December, you are basically talking their actual date to start implement projects. You actually talk 3 months after the allocation has been made, because majority of their projects they will start effectively in September and October, because from the time when we allocate them or when we indicate their allocation until the time they actually start the project, they have that 3 months, and from there they will basically start the actual implementation in about September, October of the financial year. So therefore, what they will be engaged in is basically starting to build the backbone infrastructure before they can effectively achieve connection. So if we talk, for example, municipalities, you can effectively talk now as sort of their half-year sort of review at the municipal level. So they will be looking at finishing majority of their project towards May and so on and June. The main challenges, I think, Chairperson would remember that some of the challenges that we had were still the bulk infrastructure and so on. As municipalities, we experience the same, and that can be seen on the allocation. If we look, for example, in Mpumalanga, the connections is 2,200 that were planned to be done. But if you look at the allocation, for instance, in Mpumalanga, we had 52 million. That basically tells you that there is a greater need to build the bulk infrastructure at municipalities to enable more connections. So majority, although we can talk connections here, but the bulk of the money that municipalities are actually basically spending now is to build the bulk infrastructure to enable, meaning their medium voltage or sub-transmission networks to access some of the remote areas within their vicinity to access connections. And this is a challenge, of course, and it's different from the time when electrification started at a mass scale, because when electrification started in 1994 and so on, majority of the houses which were not electrified, they were in a close proximity of the network. The densities were better, meaning that they were like close to one another and so on. Now we are dealing with a different challenge. The challenge being that really far from the network, sparsely populated, high cost per connection, and obviously if that's the case, means also the price of copper and so on and of transformers goes up as well. So that is the. So we are seeing some municipalities, of course, are still finalizing their 2005-06 and 6-7 projects, and they hence start some of their projects a bit late. Of course, the need to build the bulk infrastructure to enable more connections is some of the challenges that municipalities are facing at this stage. And I think they will be on the same boat as Eskom, because some of the bulk infrastructure have long lead time material and so on. And so the capacity challenges, and I think this is something that the committee must note, that the country has got this mass expansive capacity problem, which is mainly your contractors and consultants and of course availability of material and so on. And we see it as well in this case municipalities. You find they have appointed an individual, but he works on several municipalities, the same person, and I would believe exactly the same consultant or contractor will be executing projects even on the Eskom side. So you have got a competent individual who is being overstretched, and hence the delivery of a service becomes slow. So those are some of the challenges that we basically experience to date.
Just before I forget, we want to invite both yourself, Eskom, and DWAF to Mpumalanga. I'm looking at the two reports. Mpumalanga is the best report in respect of bulk water and water. There's also a terrible report in respect of what you're reporting about. And so on the 18th, if you diarize now, 18th of March to the 20th of March, we will be in Mpumalanga talking to some municipalities there. 18th to 20th of March. So clearly we've got to be dealing with those municipalities in respect of what the problems on the ground are in respect of the two reports that we have. And I'm just happy because the timing is also just appropriate, because the two reports must also fit into the discussions we will have with the municipalities in Mpumalanga. So I'm just saying we just remain invited to these meetings. We shall send out formal letters to your respective pastors, but I'm just already saying on the 18th to the 20th we'll be in that process. I'm sorry for that.
Thank you, Chair. When we look at the ESCOM program, I must indicate that majority of all projects which were still outstanding on the ESCOM side, we have managed to, let's say the rollover project, we have managed to complete, and hence there has been an improvement in the performance of the ESCOM. We on the ESCOM side for households totally, including the total problem was 973. The total actual year to date expenditure is 652, which represents 67% to date. And on the connection side, they are expected to produce 120,000 connections. And to date, they have achieved 59,149, which is about 50% of what is expected. The next page, Chair, is on the per province as to the achievement there. And I don't know if it's a coincidence, we also have got Mpumalanga also having a challenge there. So it's something that I know that on this part, it's something that we need to really work on and try to improve the performance there. But we are confident on this specific program that the targets that we have set, we will be able to achieve despite some of the challenges that we will indicate at the later stage. Some of the challenges that we basically experience, and I think it's something that not only us, the majority of the infrastructure expanding countries that they are experiencing, is the shortage of material. There has been an increase in the delivery times of most of this material. So it's a challenge that we feel, and mainly on transformers, and it becomes completely sometimes difficult to obtain this material on a short notice, or even if you plan, the time that it takes to basically deliver can be a challenge. And we have seen it mainly in the Northern Cape, where you find that it's smaller municipalities doing small projects. Some of their projects are not being energized, not purely because they have not completed the construction. They did complete, but it is, for example, a transformer that cannot be delivered. A supplier does not want to go to Upington, for instance, to go and deliver only one transformer. He waits that there is a delivery in Cape Town so that he can have load the complete truck to and pass by to come to Cape Town. So you go to a project, you find that the project is complete, the infrastructure is there, but it just cannot be energized because there is one big component which is still missing. So those are some of the challenges that we experience. The survey and so on. And I think I'll allow my colleagues on the ESCOM side to also expand on some of those. The topography and housing densities. Members would be aware that majority of now the electrification happens in rural areas, and therefore to basically carry out the construction in majority of these areas requires the terrain just makes it difficult or basically slow the pace of construction. Some of the way the poles have to be planted, supported, and so on, basically lengthen the time for the construction of, if you have to construct 1,000 connections in Cape Town, it's not the same as doing exactly the same project in, for example, Elundini, where the topography and the housing densities are not the same because the calculations become different. But still, the dependencies on the bulk infrastructure is still a challenge, especially in your areas of Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and I would believe that Limpopo is also one of the affected areas. Some of the recommendations that we try to put forward is that maybe we need to work with these contractors so that they work together on some of these projects. Maybe when the other one is less constrained, we put two contractors together to try to fast track some of these. One other thing is that if the contractors can sometimes sort some of this material on behalf of ESCOM. So we would sometimes look at separating the execution of the works, that the other contractor, instead of doing the complete project, the other one concentrates on doing the LV work and the other does the MV infrastructure, and then maybe somebody does the low voltage would be when you talk on in a distribution system environment, you'll be talking to, for example, house connections that goes into the house, basically the four wires that runs on a pole. The medium voltage would be the one that's sitting horizontal like that, and there's three of them. Mainly, they are at 22,000 volts, which is 22 kV, and maybe 11,000 volts, which is 11 kV. That would be your medium voltage. Some of the recommendations that were put there is that some of the outages will be arranged long in advance to prevent some cancellation of work. On the clinics, on schools and clinics apart, a total of 49 million. You can use the word outage, but it is the planned work to energize the system. You need to switch off to sort of connect other customers on the network, and then switch them back on. It is appropriate. It's correct. The schools and clinics, year to date expenditure on the 49 is 19 million, which represents about 38% of the allocation. On the actual connections of the money that has been spent, we were supposed to do about 484 of those, and we have done about 216, which also represents 44%. Chair would recall that last time we were having a challenge with the Department of Education to get the list of schools, and we also had a challenge that we did not have a plan to electrify or the plan that the Department of Education had with regard to the mud structures, because we could not be able to electrify mass structures because they were going to be unsafe. So I must indicate that we did communicate with the Department of Education. We have the list. In terms of the mass structures, they have indicated to us, they have given us a plan when and how are they going to eradicate the mass structures so that we can come in with a with the electrification. So we did resolve some of those challenges, and we will continue to work with them so that we can make the project a success. On the next page is actually, Chair, I just want to apologize there. I think it's clinics. I think the things that must be deleted. It's clinics. Special clinics. We did receive a special funding to eradicate the backlog in clinics. So all clinics will be electrified by the end of this financial year. All clinics in South Africa, either using grid or off-grid technology. So I must indicate that the commitment is still there. We will be able to eradicate that specific backlog. We have segregated the schools, that the clinics which needs to be done with grid and the ones that needs to be done with off-grid. We know the numbers, and currently as we speak, contractors are on site electrifying both sides, all with grid and off-grid. Mainly it's solar panels, yes.
But is the commitment realistic? Look, we don't want unrealistic commitment. Is this a realistic commitment?
Chair, I must indicate that the commitment is realistic. We have thought of it thoroughly, and we were aware of the challenges that we're facing. So at this stage, what I can indicate is that progress is on track. We will be able to eradicate the backlog by the 31st of March 2008. We will not have a clinic which does not have access to electricity, either grid and off grid. The next slide would indicate now the progress on what we have just spoken about, and we at year to date completion against target. It's sitting.
What do you mean by special clinic? What type of clinic is that?
No, it's basically special funding. We received funding from Treasury to, together with the Department of Water Affairs, to bring services to the clinics. And the target was that we need to complete those by the end of this financial year. So that was the special funding that was given to eradicate the backlog. Yeah. All clinics, yes. Special. Okay. All right.
So in Gauteng, there's only one clinic that has no electricity.
Yes.
And KwaZulu, there's only five, Limpopo only five, Northwest, three, Northern Cape, none.
Uh-oh. Department of Health.
Okay, we will come back to the discussion. Okay. All right. There is a request, even though you are making an informal contribution. Now, the ladies from the press would want to hear the whispering. And so please use the mic They would want to report on those two. But I was just saying, this page that we're looking at now, is this a true reflection? A reflection that the Northern Cape is 0, 0708, Northwest 3, Limbombo 5, KwaZulu 5, Gauteng 1. I think I can understand the Eastern Cape because we know that I think the last financial year they built 60 clinics. I'm not sure on top of how many, but they did build 60 clinics that we know ourselves. But I just want to check whether this is a true reflection of the clinics that are targeted in these provinces.
The next page talks to some of the reasons that we in terms of those specific clinics, in terms of executing the program. This is now related to grid electrification. As you know, most of these are situated in deep rural areas. There's been a challenge in terms of contractors accessing the site for that. So some of the schools, consultants and so on, they were appointed late as a result of the identification and so on to be able to do the work. There has been a challenge in terms of the point of supply. This majority of these clinics are in very deep rural and remote areas, and to find the cheapest way of doing it, several options one needs to look at, and the fact that the clinic is far from the grid might not be actually the criteria to use off grid, because you find that the clinic, you need to necessarily have to build the line, use grid, because the clinic is almost like a hospital. It's a bigger clinic, and it is used by the larger population. So to get the segregation between the two, other than just looking at the financial constraints and the distance and so on, you look at the way the utilization of that facility. So one needed to do that kind of analysis to then do the put the supply there. Some of the challenges we have already spoken to them. The school's resources only increased during the course of the year. Knock-on effect on late assessment, of course. Incomplete tagging due to problem with the terrain. The change of structure resulting in the design changes. You don't have, although you can have sort of a uniform supply to the clinic or the school. Depending on the size of the school, the change in design is necessitated, so that you can accommodate the youth. For example, you arrive in a school and the system can cater for, say, 4 computers, but you find that the school, there has been a donation of 50 computers. So it means you have to alter the system so that you can accommodate the need. Some of the mitigations that were put forward, and I think they are more or less similar to what we indicated on the grid connections. We try to push conductors, put additional resources and so on. Despite this, I want to indicate that we are monitoring the progress closely, and we will ensure that the target, as we said, will be met. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Chair, first I'd like to thank you for the presentation. Chair, we've made a few wise cracks at Eskom about outages and all that, but it's actually a very serious matter, and I think it should be dealt with appropriately. Chair, we do have the cheapest electricity in the world, which we should maybe be thankful for. But what don't concern you, Chair, is, and if Eskom can just elaborate on a few things, our priority for Eskom and government at the moment is to supply electricity, because we're behind. Now, then the question arises, are we going to carry on with bigger projects like Kuka, which is going to draw the same amount of energy as what Port Elizabeth does, or are we going to put that on hold, and various other projects, Chair? Chair, and then I think we have to be very honest with each other as government and Eskom, and because there's a very bad perception out amongst the public as to what's going on, and I think there are a lot of cover-ups and blah, blah, blah. Chair, and I think this is going to be a bit of a sensitive question, is how much electricity are we supplying to neighbouring countries? And there is, it was reported that a new contract was signed with Namibia or Botswana, I can't remember, on the 5th of January this year for 375 megawatts. Now, Chair, that is very important to our own economy. And I'm not using this loosely, but charity begins at home for our own industry, own employment, and things like that. And, Chair, then the last one is going to be a much easier question. When we went in Mpumalanga a year ago, the Greater Taung area, Taung, on one side of the road, it was northwest, Chair. On one side of the road, where all those houses being built, there was very little water and no electricity. Right across the street, which fell under the Northern Cape, everything was lit up. And I don't think that's been addressed. It has been brought up before. And, Chair, yeah, besides the figures that they've given us, Chair, I think that's all for now. Thank you.
Well, it looks like that's a lot. Mr. Sokolin. Mr. Sokolin Robinson.
Thank you, Chairperson. From the Rift Department, of course. Chair, the Eskom decided not to to number the pages. I think it was a good strategy. I'm not sure. No, I don't know. These pages. Is the 1, 2, 3 pages, right? Municipal program, capital expenditure. We see the Gauteng, not Gauteng. Gauteng, yes, 39%. Matlipopo, 27%. Mpumalanga, 17%. And I assume that that was up to end of December, the year two. The next stage on connections in Mpumalanga, the revised connections are supposed to be 2,206. Connection to date, nothing. Achieved, nothing. Northwest, 2,600 and something. Connections to date, nothing. Achieved to date, nothing. Northern Cape, achieved to date, 3%. Western Cape, 3%. Free State, out of 6,000, nothing has been done up to date. Now, I say, Chairperson, I would really like to understand what the problem is. Now, on the page of challenges, slide of the challenges, the need to build the...
Just before that, and therefore, what are the risks? Are there risks of understanding in respect of those? And what are the implications for those communities?
But also, Chair, just following that question up, you got the plans, the number of houses to be built, the amount to be spent on that. What is it?
why is it that we cannot spend? I mean, the allocation has been done based on business plans. Were there business plans when these allocations were made, or people have some trust and say, now, let us, for these provinces, we'll give one, we suppose that it's... But I'm saying, were there business plans? And if there were business plans, why is it saying that there is no expenditure? I'm saying the other thing that I was not clear about, on the, then on the slide, under challenges, on the need to build the bulk infrastructure to enable connection. If I understood the presenter well, you seem to be saying that the municipality is supposed to build the infrastructure. Let's just clear that one first. Is that what you were saying, Chairperson? Is that what was said?
Through Chair, yes, they need to build the bulk site.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, it's not my understanding. We have been to the Eastern Cape on a number of occasions. Our understanding was that, I'm talking about now, I'm not talking policy or principles, practical things. Our information was that ESCOM was supposed to build infrastructure, power infrastructure, electricity infrastructure in certain areas. For instance, I can make an example. In Omtata, we are informed that there can be connections because, well, what the municipalities were supposed to do had to do with houses. But in terms of infrastructure for connections, for infrastructure, the understanding there was that ESCOM was supposed to be, he is responsible for that. The other question, Chairperson, is we are informed that you allocate to municipalities in June. The financial year of municipalities starts on the 1st of July. But the actual work there will only start 3 months later. I'm not sure if this, the comment was fair, but also consequently the question then will be fair, because now we're speaking on behalf of municipalities that are not here. That I'm not sure if one, municipalities can confirm that they don't start working on the 1st of July for the financial year, but only 3 months later. But number two, then, on what basis again then do you allocate? Is there a change now in the financial year from the 1st of June of July to the 1st of October, let me say now? Because they can't start working now. Because my understanding now, with the introduction of the Municipal Finance Management Act, one was to align within the water project, the locality of government, time of spending, but also to ensure that, I know that they have not reached that stage of beginning to do multi-year budgeting. And the report that we were getting was that they were on track in terms of beginning to that. Many of the municipalities, reports that we got from the main municipalities were that they had started now doing the multi-year budgeting. In other words, they are supposed to know well upfront. In fact, last year, I think that if not all, maybe 90% of them were on track in terms of approving budgets by, they're supposed to approve those budgets 90 days before the beginning of the next financial year. And the report that we got was that last year, for instance, by the end of the 2006-2007, they had approved the budget. But if then, that's why I'm saying that maybe it's a bit unfair to municipalities to speak on behalf of municipalities here that they don't start spending on the 1st, but 3 months later.
right. Then the next question will be the schools. On the slide of the schools in the Eastern Cape. By the way, Chairperson, I was just whispering to the BBC Photograph that the head of Photograph there in that area, I think that she's not doing very bad, in the one who works in the Eastern Cape. I mean, where there is credit, I think we must give credit where at least the work is being done and criticize where it is supposed to. With the schools, no, it's clinics. Let me start with the clinics, Mr. President. Connection special clinics, it was explained, it's okay, don't worry about that. Eastern Cape, 4.4%. Then the rest, there's no expenditure. Then the question is, can we be informed as to what are the projections in terms of spending? Do you think that you will spend this budget come the end of the financial year of municipality? Or I suppose that you're projecting understanding, but I didn't hear that you said that. Also, I just want you to be clear on that. Are you projecting understanding? Because many places have not been spent. And if so,
what are the plans if you are projecting understanding? How do you plan to deal with that?
So, the I'm not sure, sir, whether it has to do with the report that we're hearing about challenges in the rural areas. For instance, the ESCOM expenditure for 2007-2008 on schools and clinics in the 4%. With the clinics, special clinics, out of 122 from the Eastern Cape, only 6 have been done. Now, Chairperson, I think that we have a bit of challenges. In fact, Mpumalanga is not even there. Why? Is it a typographical omission, or was it intentional, or is it because there's no work there that is being done? Why is it omitted? Thank you, sir.
Madam Robinson.
Thank you, Chair. I also have a question on that page. It's already been mentioned about Mpumalanga, and I was wanting to know about the position of the Western Cape. Why is it not mentioned? Does it mean that it's up to standard and there are no problems, or is it that you are putting, giving priority to other areas? And then I was also wanting to know about the ability of Eskom to forecast. I think if we look at the bigger picture now of the load shedding and the power outages, how many skills do you have there? But also just looking at what we've got here on the previous page, Eskom's reasons for year-to-year performances. You mentioned that you get to a school and you find that instead of 4 computers, they're 50, so you've got to change your plan. And I'm just wondering about thinking ahead and planning ahead. Isn't it a matter of finding out before you go? Surely things like faxes or telephones or cell phones work. If you can find out what the needs are, don't just go off into the vast distant interior and go and find out then that your planning is incorrect. Surely we need to look ahead and plan better. Points of supply, that is it too. And then I did notice that you said that you were going to be appointing more consultants. I'm delighted to hear that. I just want to know if you actually have consultants, because we and people who are available, because we constantly hear about lack of skills and shortages of the people who have the required skills. And then just as a follow-up to the neighboring country, somebody else mentioned Namibia. I'd just like to know about Zimbabwe. We hear these stories about Zimbabwe still being supplied with electricity. And then there's also a story that they're not actually paying for anything. I wonder if you can confirm or deny that. Because, as somebody else said as well, charity begins at home. And when we see our own economy grinding to a halt, I think this is really serious. I've also heard the story that residential areas are not being targeted because people mustn't be inconvenienced. That's very important. But then you go for areas that are very big business areas. And what do you think of the ramifications of that are? When people don't have jobs or they are dismissed and your production can't carry on, surely the consequences for that for the country as a whole are far greater. Thank you.
What, Mr. Mkhalid?
Thanks, Chairperson. Just a little question, Chairperson. Very easy one for ESCOM. Chair, we have some areas, municipal areas, and townships, big townships, that are supplied directly by ESCOM with power, and they pay directly to ESCOM. So, the municipality, in as far as electricity supply is concerned, does not really come into the picture. How does then ESCOM does its planning and implementation of projects in those areas? And how do they deal with the obligation of reporting monthly to a municipality about those projects that are implementing in those municipal areas? What is ESCOM's role in the initial planning stages in that regard? Do you just stay away from the IDP and other planning programs just because you have the service provider authority directly to the community, not via the municipality? And lastly, what would be the effect of that scenario in the light of the report in front of us here? Thanks, Chair.
Well, that last question relates to the Bible. I'm just looking at the chapter and the verse so that Mr. Mkhalisi must not be seen to be unfair. Verse 19. That's a good one. You are forever in church. You are so correct. That's verse 19. Thank you very much. Chapter 19, verse 1 and 2. Thank you very much. Proceed then. And just as you know how you're going to divide yourself. Okay. Mkhalisi and then Bota.
Yeah, the last part of it. Maybe to be fair to them, this would be just a provision for the road, so that next time when we meet, maybe they. But if they've got the answers they can give. Chair, the situation of the country in as far as electricity supply is concerned. You know, I happen to come from an area, and it's sometimes called the energy powerhouse of the country. But if we still have the power station.
In your dreams.
We have some power stations that are still so-called mothballed. Some have been recommissioned, but they are performing at half the capacity. Each time you ask, you are told about many technical answers. Can they simplify, if possible, and tell us what is the real situation? Yes. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I think Commissioner raised this. ESCOM, the supply of ESCOM electricity on the rural areas, farm areas, is directed by ESCOM to the people and municipalities in town, but all areas is now municipality area, wards.
When will municipalities taking that service over totally from ESCOM? Is there plans in regarding of that? Chair, and then yes, another issue is that ESCOM connections of households. On this moment, I think it's about 49%, so it's 50% to that, and the end year is another 60,000 households to be connected. With the shortage of electricity now, well, ESCOM can provide so many connections in this year and still provide electricity to that. I mean, it's only 50% of this connected now. And still you have to double them. And everything is right, like that electricity will not be in the next 3, 4, 5 years, perhaps 10 years. Full supply. And that's only households. I'm not talking about businesses, I'm not talking about big operations, I'm not only talking that then how will there be not much more blackouts. Chair, and then yes, I would like to have from ESCOM that's clinics, the list of the clinics and the schools who haven't connected yet, that I can go back to my province in Limpopo to see if that is the correct figures in regarding all that, because it's a little bit of other line. So there's 5 clinics in Limpopo. I will just have to have the names of that clinic in which area. Well, is there? We haven't got electricity, and then I can come back to you. Thank you, sir.
All right. ESCOM, you can divide them amongst yourselves.
Thank you, Chair. I will reply to the questions that will be relevant for the Department of Minerals and Energy, and those that ESCOM need to respond on, I will give them an opportunity to do so, and I will give also a chance for my colleagues to add on some of the omissions that I would have made. Starting with the finance, okay, I'll start with the position of the Western Cape in terms of the clinics. I must indicate that in the Western Cape, all clinics have been electrified in terms of the backlog. We had 2 schools that were outstanding to be electrified, and those schools have, the first one has been completed, the second one was switched on. The last one, they basically have no backlog anymore in terms of schools and clinics. So the last school, which costed 2.1 million to electrify that specific school, is about 80% completed as we speak. So in the Western Cape, there's no backlog. The change in financial years, no, there has not been any change of the financial years of the municipalities. What basically happened, I guess we speak now, most municipalities would have or are aware of their MTF allocation is there. Once they have given a project, most of them will get the confirmation of their project early in February. That is, then in terms of their allocation, they will know about their allocation, which will be published in the Division of Revenue. It will be there. That they will know that by March. In fact, before on electrification, before the end of March, they will know that that money belongs to them. So you would expect municipalities to basically start claiming 1st of April. But that's not the case. The reason it being that way is that by the end of March, either they are still executing some of their projects, but in terms of planning, they would wait from April, May, June. In terms of that specific financial year's allocation, they basically would not be doing anything. And the reason that we get at the municipal level would be they still need to take those projects through the council, and they need to get it as part of their budget and so on. And because they also have to put some proper funding, they will tell you, no, they have not done their budget and so on. So by the time when their financial year starts, when that's actually the time when they start with their internal process for that specific financial year. So you effectively get municipalities the first 3 months of the national government financial year. They are basically on that financial year's allocation doing nothing. And when they get to start in the 1st of July, then they will take the project to council, the project gets approved, and that's the time when they will start advertising a tender. And that process, I say, it takes on average 3 months. In some municipalities, it takes longer depending on the dynamics. But I would use 3 months as an average that we have experienced. So that's July, August, and September. So mostly then they will start their execution. When we talk execution, we talk on-site construction. They will start maybe in October. So that is the challenge.
You know, Chair, now, I think now we have graduated from the stage of generalizing now to the stage of being specific. I think that it would be very useful to come up with a list of those municipalities that are experiencing those kind of problems. Because it would mean that somewhere, somehow, we're not getting the same information. We get reports that municipalities have approved the budget by that time of the year. I think many of them, it was May, and a few, the last ones of them. But also, now we get reports today that says they start working later. So that if we have to intervene, we must know where we have to intervene.
Sure. Thank you, James. Just to add on what previous speaker was saying, the problem that we've got currently also is that the municipalities are still busy with 5-6 and 6-7 programs. So therefore, the delay with the 7-8 program. So that is really a big problem. So the whole thing, we can say it boils down to planning. There's no proper planning at the municipalities. Once they've got that right, things will go much smoother. And then the other thing between the differences between financial years.
Now that there are problems of planning in municipalities, what do you do about that yourself? Because part of the problem here is that you cannot and you should not even consider gazetting or even allocating in respect of those problems. That's the one problem. But number two, can you then give us a list again of these municipalities which are busy with the 06-07 projects? We do want this because we are going to do follow-ups ourselves. And when we do these follow-ups, we shall invite you to these municipalities. And just give us also the list of those municipalities. Okay, Khalif is then Porter.
Yes, sorry about that. If in that report also, they would also indicate to us for which municipality were they forced to do what they call degazetting or regazetting.
Okay, in regarding of the municipalities, business plans, IDPs, Eskom is supposed to be a part of that process. So the moment a budget of a municipality is approved by the council, that IDP, that program must be already in to say, in this financial year, we will do the one ABC, next financial year, ABC. And also, according to the municipalities, ESCO must report monthly to municipalities about the progress of that process. And that is this one also. If those processes is 2 years, because you can't go and say, electrify this area this year if it's not a part of IDP. The business plan. So planning is already there in the process of this year, every year. So I'm a little bit concerned if there's not like that.
So it's fine. They still have to respond in respect of, as we said, chapter 19 of the Bible. But also the problem is if the issue that is raised now in respect of the lack of planning, it creates problems. Because it means then that chapter of the Bible is not adhered to. So clearly there's a big problem in respect of that, but proceed with your responses.
Okay. In terms of the when the bulk infrastructure, the implementation of the Integrated National Electrification Program is twofold. You have got a portion where municipalities are licensed to distribute, so then they will be responsible for their respective areas, and where ESCOM is licensed to distribute. So now, when we talk bulk in terms of on the ESCOM side, mainly we will be referring to sub-transmission line and so on. And it's exactly the same at the municipalities because, like we said, that both of them still need to build bulk either way. They do have rural areas which they are licensed to distribute electricity. They will then have to build distribution substation, either taking from the ESCOM sub-transmission network into their area. So as a municipality, licensed distributor, you still need to build bulk. But not only that, some of them, although ESCOM has got their sub-transmission network, they need a capacity. For example, they have connected, there is growth in their area, so they need to build additional in-feed points into the city or into the town. So that is the bulk infrastructure that I'm basically talking about. So it's not necessarily mean that there is this bulk that ESCOM must do on behalf of municipalities. ESCOM, in their licensed area, they do build bulk. Municipalities, in their respective area, do build bulk infrastructure. So I just want to make sure that there's no confusion when we come into the bulk infrastructure.
No. Before that, you know what we must do? We'll go back to that report of that municipality and just look at all of these issues that are raised. And unfortunately, you still have to go, Mr. Robertson and yourself, to KST. And so these are some of the matters that you must follow up, having read again that report, okay? And then come back to us and just say, what is reported today is the correct version of what ought to happen. So I'm just saying, let's also go back to that report, but also expect the two of you to go to that municipality and just deal with the whole issue there. But what did you want to say, Mr. Sokon?
Now, I think that you have preempted me because, you know, you think so we must not create confusion. We must not be confused on this side of the table because we, as members of parliament, do not know where is the responsibility for ESCOM to install this article. We don't know where. Which municipalities have got a license to establish their own, what you call it, bulk infrastructure, that we cannot know. So I'm saying, but if that information can be made clear to us so that we know where has, what you call it, ESCOM also failed to do its own, what you call it, side of the work. But I would assume that on this one, from this report that we're getting today, where there's lack of expenditure, I'm not sure if we should, what you call it, point the finger to the municipalities, because the budget lies with ESCOM. It does not lie with municipalities. So I just want to clarify that fact.
Okay, Chair, I would like to indicate that when we initially started, we separated as two programs. There is the municipal program and the ESCOM program. In that way, it basically says that when we talk of the municipal program, we talk of municipalities who have received funding and the budget is lying with municipalities. So that is the 467 million we spoke about. The second program is the ESCOM program, which is 900 million, whereby ESCOM is the distributor, is the licensed distributor. They would then be responsible for the execution, and that budget will be transferred by the Department of Minerals and Energy to ESCOM. So ESCOM, with that 900 million, they will still build bulk infrastructure to open up mainly rural areas with electrification. The municipalities, on the other hand, they are continuing to electrify, so therefore they also would need to build the bulk infrastructure for their respective areas. So I just, when there's two programs, there's the municipal program, which is Schedule 6, there is ESCOM program, which is Schedule 7 of the Division of Revenue, and which municipalities are executing the electrification program and so on, they will also be part of the Bible. Yes. The what is the problem with the progress on the the current progress that we basically experience, especially at for example the municipal level. I think ESCOM will speak on their behalf, and we continuously sort of assess the progress at municipalities, and we on a monthly basis engage with municipalities either in writing, and so that they can indicate some of the problems that they basically experience. I must say that in order to basically best the honest fact is that if you really need to judge municipalities in terms of their performance, it's very difficult when you use March as a deadline. That's the reality of the situation. When we use March as a deadline for the implementation of their specific program, it's not the best way to basically measure their performance, because as we speak now, ideally they are basically at the halfway towards their actual implementation. So you can best judge them in by June. That is basically the reality. And by the end of March, you have got a fairly very good progress in terms of their performance. There will be problems there and there, but we get very good confidence on most of their projects.
Can you just switch off? Our yardstick took us, and that we are very clear about. Not talking much, I'm saying 2 quarters, and this is what we're talking about, not so. And that's basically the issue. And why is this spending so in 2 quarters?
The challenges municipalities share, I think I've outlined that, and confidently, I would say majority of them will be able to complete their respective programs. I have indicated the challenges in terms of the supply chain and so on. So the in terms of the delivery of connections, it they need to build the backbone infrastructure and show connections. And in the first 2 quarters, the time that will be spent will be mainly on building the backbone infrastructure. So it's difficult in the 2 quarters to basically physically show a connection, because a connection account, although we use connections as an output, from the time you construct until the time you basically have a connection, there is a lot of work that is being done. So that's why on the connection part you'll have less connection. That's the reality. And when we talk connection in our terms, will be a house, its service, and a certificate of compliance has been issued. So the mere fact that there is a backbone infrastructure and there is lines and so on in a village would not signify. For the mere fact that there is poles, lines, and so on in a village, and a house is not connected, a municipality cannot report it as a connection until they have connected the house chain. Thank you.
Chair, thanks very much. I will tackle the issues that relate to electrification, all of them, right now. Mr. Alvin Lester, next to me here, will deal with the issues on capacity as raised by the various honorable members. And Mr. Walker, and where we fall short, he'll come in and plug the gaps. In support, I think, of our colleague here, I've learned in the past few years to play hockey and no longer stick fighting. And as a result, what you see on paper, that is how you reflect the program, is mainly on connections.
If you recall, Chair, at the last presentation we made on the 9th of October, we had a slide where we showed that about 80 to 85% of the work is what people do not see, and 15% is actually the connection. And unfortunately, this is what then now we reflect on paper. The best always then now to look at what is happening in respect of the unforeseen is to look at the allocation and look at the expenditure year to date. Then now at least you get a picture that at least there is some movement in respect of the allocation for that particular municipality. Secondly, electricity is a regulated business, and there are 3 licenses currently in South Africa for distribution of electricity, given to municipalities, given to Eskom, and one given to City Power. Then those 3 license holders, they can do distribution work in respect of their own areas of supply, that is, where then now they supply. In terms of municipalities, if you look at the licenses, they are licensed for the whole area, except for areas currently supplied by Eskom. As a result, you find, like Mr. Sogoni indicated, or Honorable Member Mr. Sogoni indicated, like take Umtata. The Umtata municipality mainly distributes electricity. They are licensed in the immediate vicinity of the Umtata, the town. The broader area, that is the rural area of Umtata, is mainly done by Eskom. We took it over from Tesco in 1995. So that's why you'll always find there now these 2. But you'll find, like, if you take Umtata as an example, there will be an allocation given to Eskom by the DME to do electrification in the areas where municipality is not doing work. And there will be then now an allocation given directly to the municipality to do work in the areas they have identified that they are going to do work in. And one of their constraints as well, which I haven't had mentioned yet, is usually the constraint of housing in respect of municipalities. Chair, let's go back to our last presentation. I think the committee was sort of concerned with the level of spending. When we presented here last time, I think we outlined that one of the constraints from the ESCOM program, we were still busy with finishing up the 267 program in respect of households, and there were figures that we pushed in there, as well as schools. If you remember very well, Mr. Chair, in schools it was really bad. We had about 11 schools, as against 2016 that we are reporting now. And if you look now at this report, we have cleared all that, and now we are concentrating on the 7-8 program. Hence, then now I mentioned about the hockey stick part of it. So basically, then now we are comfortable that then we will get there. We are sort of doing very well on that. Then now, again, on the IDPs, I think let me talk about that one in general. We have learned that in respect of ESCOM's areas of supply, which are within municipal areas, all projects that we undertake are approved and pointed out to us by the municipality. They do not just do that in an IDP meeting. We follow up on a one-on-one, and they finally give us a letter to say, these are the projects approved for this particular financial year that should be undertaken by Eskom in our area. As a result, if we go and implement, and at the implementation stage, we find that possibly there's a capacity problem in that area, then now we've got to go back to the municipality and say, we have now to sort of increase capacity here or put in more transformers or do some strengthening, and then now could you give us then now the next village in line or the next project in line? This one then now, let's put it in the other year. But all that is done in writing. And then now when we sign the implementation agreement with the DME, then we make sure that those letters are in place. Again, the municipal report. Then, this was, I think, section 29, when it came in. Now it's in section 19. Chair, it's a pity, I had these reports, I wanted to bring them here, because of the Honorable Member, Mr. Sogoni, because he chastised me about my leave as file one time I was here. But we've got a register. Last time we came to the committee in October, I left what we call them now a register, which is about 3 pages, with a list of all the municipalities we've allocated, funding has been allocated to, and then now to say on a monthly basis, then now we have sent the reports, and all the reports are on file, so that then now if at any particular point in time somebody says to us, give us the report for Umtada, we can say, here's the file. So we do that reporting. Over and above the reporting, Chair, there's always constant communication between our people at regional level with the various councillors, that is at ward level, to make sure that then now the progress of the project and the program, then now they are informed and the communities as well are involved and participate in the program. Then the...
Before that we pass it, I like the the observation that he makes, this constant consultation. But if you remember, I don't know, I'm sure you know the gentleman in the Eastern Cape who is responsible for KSD, where he tells the people there, if you don't come to me, I will not give you money. Because that's what he kept on telling the municipalities in front of us. And surely, he was not giving the money. And I thought that is his money. I was no longer sure whether the money belonged to him or to Eskom, but he is the person who was chastising people, not me. Who's that?
Somebody is saying you are eating into your time. There's a joint sitting.
Now we're here. We're not going to the joint.
Right. Okay, Chair. The other issue was the issue of rural municipalities who do not have licenses, where ESCOM is distributing. I think Mr. Porter raised that question. I would answer that to say that I think that's what exactly the REZ were purported to address. Because if you remember, at one stage when the concept was mooted, there were about 803 units and 2,000 tariffs and everything else. But then now that will be addressed through the REZ to make sure that at least there is about only 6 distributors in the country who handle that one. What else?
Yes, well, I was looking only at the time frame when the tank can come in place. No, yes, only.
I am not very much... Okay, the issue of the Reds, it was announced, if you recall, during the SONA of 2004, then now the President made an announcement in respect of the time frames. And because of the unforeseen constraints in putting together the framework, those time frames have not been met. But the EDI holdings, who are driving the process, are still there, and they are the ones who are leading us together with the Department of Minerals and Energy in the formation of the regional electricity distributors. Okay, Chair, I will leave to Mr. Lester to deal with the capacity issue.
Thank you, Chair. The first question was the impact on big projects for future supply. I think we know about the challenges, we're all aware of it. One of the things that we have done is with big projects and with the big entities coming into South Africa, we are being upfront about the challenges. We are trying to look at means of saying what is the minimum that you require to actually operate. And I think we're very clear. We realize the impact on the growing economy going forward. But we also realize that we have to balance that with the available supply. So the idea is to speak to these guys coming in
and make him understand that there are challenges and we might not be able to supply them with 100%. But what is the minimum requirement that they need to operate? On the question of how much do we supply other countries, if I can answer that with the question around Zimbabwe. And Namibia, okay. We have agreements in place with what we call the SA Power Pool that includes countries like Namibia, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Mozambique, etc., etc. Those agreements are fairly clear. We can only supply them when we have available supply. So when we actually go through load shedding in our country, it's very clear that our power supply to those countries are reduced to a minimum. So that is the arrangement. I also have to say that at this point, when we have surplus supply, we export. At this point, we're actually a net importer, which means that we don't have sufficient supply. So we bring in a lot more from Cotabasa, and we even buy back from Namibia. So at this point, we are a net importer of electricity. On the question of do Zimbabwe pay, the answer is yes. They do pay. Okay, then the question was, given the supply situation, can we make further connections? I think, again, there is a program in place, universal access and electrification, in terms of priority, those are the ones that we will least impact. But again, we also have to be realistic. What is it that we can do? At the moment, or currently, we're looking at reducing consumption across the country of 10%. I think the detailed plan needs to be worked out to see how we actually affect the different sectors of our economy, so our residential, industrial, etc., etc. On the question of industrial versus residential in terms of load shedding, we're very clear in terms of providing equity. We have to, as far as possible, be equitable when we do load shedding. We do have special arrangements with industrial customers. We have what we call DMP, demand market participation, where we in fact pay them to reduce load. When we get to a situation where we have to shed irrespective of that arrangement, the amount that we need to shed is actually rotated and shed equity amongst residential as well as industrial customers. Now, we cannot obviously shed beyond the meter of the municipality, but we do also enforce that the metros and the municipalities meet their reduction. So if we ask, for instance, the city of Cape Town to shed 100 megawatts, they have a plan on their side in terms of how they distribute that 100 megawatts between their customers, both residential and industrial. We then just request 100 megawatts from the municipality. For the Eskom areas of supply, we actually track the equity. We rotate that, and almost on a daily basis, we can see who's been shed and who must still be shed. So that is how we do the load shedding. I also have to point out, Mr. Chair, that there's about 6 activities that take place before you load shed. Load shedding is the last of the 6. The one is you have to exhaust all generation capacity you have in the country. That includes buying in generation capacity from municipalities, Rokobar, Calvin, etc. So we buy that in. We then also look at implementing the DMP. So all the contracts that we have in place with the key customers to reduce load, we ask them to reduce that load fairly quickly. The next thing that we actually implement is what we call off-water load control. It's where we switch off geysers on the off-peak times. Sorry, over the peak times. So between 6 and 8, the geysers go off, and that saves us a certain amount of megawatts. The water in the geyser is hot for 3 hours, so we can actually pass the peak with the water that's in the geyser. So there are a number of steps that we take before we actually get to load shedding. That's the last resort. I'm not sure if I think I've answered the question.
I want to close the meeting now. About lunch. It's a matter of life and death, yeah? Thank you very much. Then we will then be expecting these lists we've asked for in the next 7 days, okay? And then we will take it from there. Thank you very much for the inputs and submissions and comments and laughter and jokes. Meeting is adjourned. There's lunch for everyone.